The story is true.
Summit County Justice Files.
And all the stories are true on the Summit County Justice Files. I'm Tom Fricke, along with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons. Welcome to the Justice Files. It's your weekly dose of law and order, Summit County style, brought to you by Crystal 93 and the Summit County Sheriff's Office. We're here to inform, educate, and engage with our community.
Now, before we get started, just a quick disclaimer, Tom. The Justice Files excludes some of the more serious and sensitive offenses, as well as ongoing investigations that could jeopardize prosecution. And of course, everyone accused of a crime is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Crime may not pay, but it sure makes for some interesting stories. So buckle up as we dive into the latest criminal activity, the lessons learned, and yes, more than just a few moments of law enforcement levity. Because while justice is serious business, a little humor never hurt anyone. Unless, of course, it was a crime of bad jokes. So let's get into it. A report from Patrol about fraud. A real estate agent became suspicious of a person who had contacted her by email claiming that he wanted to sell his property in Breckenridge.
Yeah, you know what's interesting about this one is, you know, we talk about fraud both on the air and on the podcast every week, and it's usually internet digital fraud. And these real estate frauds used to be the thing. Like, I remember these, we'd have these all summer long, and I haven't seen one of these real estate fraud schemes in a long time. So what happens is I get all the information on your property, a real piece of property here that I know is a second home or nobody's in. And I call a realtor and I want to list it for sale, but I give her all of my information. And the home is vacant, so the realtor puts a realty sign outside and shows the home with the intent of trying to sell it to the fraudster. Usually these get caught. We see this with short-term rentals, too. Like, people will see a house that is obviously vacant and vacant for some time. They'll list it on Craigslist or now the different short-term rental sites. And people will get here and say, hey, I got to this house and the lock, I can't unlock the house, and I paid already in advance for my week stay here, you know, $1,000 a night or whatever it is, and it turns out it was a scam. So here's one that just kind of resurfaced, an old fraud scam becoming new again.
Coming back around. It's in style again.
There's always a vacant home to sell that's not yours. Yeah, it's crazy. So we took a report. We probably, because all the information was fake on it, we probably won't get to the real person. Huh. But our detectives are looking into it, and we shall see. I mean, maybe on a future podcast, we'll talk about that. We found this guy and arrested him. So the only real estate he's occupying now is in the Summit County Jail.
There you go. That'd maybe. Be nice to hear. We'll look forward to that in the upcoming Justice Files. Stay tuned. Let's talk about a theft at Copper Mountain. A resident there reported their bicycle being stolen after being left chained up to a bike rack outside an employee housing building. But being chained up outside, that wasn't enough.
You know, it's funny. In the winter, we talk about these ski thefts that happen all the time. Ever since, you know, the advent of the modernized, expensive mountain bike now, we see these, you know, we are plagued with these all summer long. Where people, whether it be tourists or people who live here, residents, that think that their bike on the bike of the back of their bike rack overnight, locked or unlocked, is safe. And it's not. We've had rings of people coming through, theft rings, where they drive around with a trailer and a pickup truck in the middle of the night with bolt cutters and remove bikes and load up trailers. I mean, one year we chased a theft ring all the way to Mexico that was taking trailer loads of bikes to Mexico and selling them. We've had them where they take them down to the front range, tear them into parts and sell them for parts because they're worth more in parts than they are as a whole bike.
Any of these bikes get recovered from that ring down in Mexico?
So if you remember, last year we talked about a bike we recovered that someone put an AirTag on, an Apple AirTag.
Right, right.
So what we did is we have since now reached out to, in fact, it's Yeti Bikes that has given us a deal on a couple bikes now that we use for bait bikes. Just like you see bait stolen cars, bait skis. We do this in the winter with skis. Now we're doing it with bikes. We have, you criminals out there, we have bikes placed around the county that are, cops are watching them.
Isn't that entrapment?
Ooh, that's another episode.
Okay.
But anyways, no, it's not entrapment, but we do have bikes out there that are baited. But, you know, now we've advanced to the stage where we are doing these bait bikes like we do skis. You know, we'll set up bikes around the county for thieves to take, and then we will either safely take them into custody there as they're stealing it, or if it's not safe, we will track the bike to wherever it goes, and we'll go and arrest the person, recover the bike, and start all over again.
Does the sheriff's office use the air tags, or is it a higher level of sophistication?
We use different other levels of sophistication.
Yes.
But just as sophisticated.
Right.
But we're grateful that we're able to, because this is a real, I mean, listen, Tom, I don't have to tell you how expensive these mountain bikes can be.
Oh, yeah.
People are losing some valuable bikes that are worth $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. And sometimes multiple bikes in the same episode.
So it's a good idea if you have one of those expensive bikes and you're renting a condo or just living here, take it inside.
Oh, my gosh.
Just take it inside. Don't leave it outside overnight
on
a rack if it's locked up. It doesn't matter if it's locked up or not. Take it inside.
Not even these super duper locks that they sell saying that nothing, not even Superman can break.
Yeah. No, they'll find a way.
Where there's a will, there is a way.
Thieves will thieve.
I walk through my neighborhood. And when I see, you know, people visiting or renters with bikes loaded on either on a bike rack or, you know, the real popular one where they pick up trucks where they lay over the
over the tailgate.
Yes. With the pad.
Uh-huh.
Just saying, take me.
Right.
The neon sign. Yeah. Take me. Oh, well, you know.
Yeah. Let's watch our gear. I mean, it's a pretty big investment, some of those bikes. So you don't want those things to get ripped off because the return rate, I mean, it can't be very high.
No.
Because you're talking about the chop shops and going out of country.
No, the best return rate we've had is on our bait bikes.
Really?
We get them, well, because they are.
Well, obviously, they're marked. They're marked for recovery intentionally.
Hey, Tom, I guarantee you we're getting the bait bike back.
Yes. How much are those bait bikes worth anyway?
Oh, there's some good ones. There's some really good bikes in there. $10,000. Yeah, because if they're not good, nobody wants
to
steal
them. Exactly, yeah. So, do you ever get to take any of them for a ride just because they're such nice bikes?
Tom, you and I can go for a ride.
Okay. After we're done here on the podcast, let's go out for a spin around
the
sheriff's
day.
Office.
Fort Rains.
Yeah. It's not going to rain. What are you talking about?
That was a joke. Yeah, that's the summer joke.
It's a bad joke. Bad joke,
Sheriff. Yeah, we need the ha-ha-ha.
Right, exactly. We need the
that's the one.
Yeah. There's a three-person climbing party that was ascending a popular climbing route in Officer's Gulch, and one of the climbers fell. We heard about this, and search and rescue had a very long day.
Yeah, this was a horrible accident that happened here in the county, a real popular climbing place. When we talk about Officer's Gulch, it's on I-70 between like Copper Mountain and Frisco, the town of Frisco. And sadly and unfortunately for our community, the person that died in this accident was actually a local community member. This is one where, again, it was, you know, this is the second week in a row where we've had a death, where it was all hands on deck, where everybody responded. Pretty traumatic for the other climbers involved, too, as well as some of our search and rescue members that were actually friends of the decedent, were fellow climbers with this person. So this, again, just highlights, you know, our small, close-knit community here, and that when someone suffers here in our community, we all suffer, and especially the first responders going here, and especially in this case, people of the Summit County Rescue Group that were actually on scene of the response that were friends with this person. So that's tough.
And there's a good support system here in Summit County as well.
Thank goodness there's a great support system.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Dillon Reservoir Rescue. Next up on the Justice Files, a large group of 18 juveniles and their adult counselors were called for assistance on the water after they got caught in high winds and a storm while they were all out kayaking. Those storms pop up on Lake Dillon all the time.
Boy. You know, this one made me think of, you know, recently in the news, there was that sailboat on the East Coast that was run over by the barge.
Right.
And those kids got killed in it. And I thought, God, here's 18 juveniles, all on paddle boards, or kayaking, I should say, watercraft, out with their counselors. And these winds come up and dump all these kids. And luckily, again, we have the resources on the lake. We have deputies that patrol the lake. They were able to go out there and not only rescue the kids and the counselors and bring them back to the dock, but they were able to retrieve all the abandoned, now empty kayaks. So
it must have been a process.
You know, talk about a process, but talk about, you know, we talk about taking everything serious and all incidents are real, responding to this thing. You can imagine it's going through everybody's head because all the marinas also respond, as well as the sheriff's office. When we have something like this, and when you know that it's kids in the water, it's tough because you don't want to lose one of them. Nevertheless, 18 of them.
Right.
So thank God, unlike this recent event we heard about, the deaths back east, we rescued all these kids.
Now, on the Dillon Reservoir, is there a communication network between the Frisco Marina, the Dillon Marina, and the Sheriff's Office watching the radar for potential storms that are coming in? And it's like, hey, this one's heading our way. We're going to be hit in about 15 minutes. Let's get out and watch for people that are going to be capsized.
Yeah, there is actually. It's a great question, Tom. There's actually great communication between the marinas and the deputies that are out on the lake. And they're talking in real time about all kinds of not only hazards, but of whatever happens to be going on in the lake and whoever happens to be closer to something. So they, even these rescues we talk about on the podcast, they're well coordinated. And so they are in constant communication. Thank goodness.
Does Summit County Rescue Group ever have to get involved with any of these?
You know, unfortunately, they do. They have in the past, and they will or would get involved. Especially if there was a drowning. In these rescues, they're so fast that by the time we deploy, it's all over, and most people are hopefully rescued by then.
And quick rescues is basically a mandatory thing on Lake Dillon.
Oh,
my cold
gosh.
Temperatures, hypothermia sets in very fast.
Yeah. And these, like I said, not only you know, do we have a couple of boats on the lake, but each marina also has a boat that will respond to these rescues. So it really is a coordinated effort by everybody when these storms roll in. And they roll in, as you just mentioned, at a moment's note. I mean, literally on the turn of a dime.
Well, and sometimes you won't even see it on the radar because the radar basically shows what has happened.
Yeah.
And sometimes the storms pop up like, wow, this is happening right
like
now.
Like literally over the lake.
Right over the lake.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
and you get these downdrafts that just explode like a bomb.
And it knocks over boats so easily.
Yeah, like boats. Big boats.
Big boats. Sailboats. Boats. Out on a regatta.
Yeah,
boats. Getting knocked down. Masts getting ripped off.
Yeah.
I mean, it can get nasty.
Yeah, we're not talking about just personal watercraft.
Right.
When you say boats, some of these are... I mean, they're big
large boats. Yeah, it's definitely a challenging body of water to navigate when the weather changes on Dillon Reservoir. So just remember, wear your personal flotation device and stay safe. Let's talk about a couple's beloved dog that went missing last week. They reported him missing to the Summit County Animal Shelter and all over social media and notified the Summit Lost Pet Rescue.
Yeah, remember, we've talked about this nonprofit group before on the podcast and on the air. Great group here in Summit County that looks for and has a huge success rate of finding lost pets. Well, this one, they were told by a friend that the dog had been found, but the man did not plan on returning the dog. So between the animal control and Summit County Sheriff's Office, we set up a little dog sting operation, and we're able actually to retrieve... I think we put it on our social media. I saw a video of this retrieval where we set up this operation where we were able to rescue the dog from the guy.
So what is a dog napping?
It was a real dog napping.
Wow.
Yeah. that we got the, you know, in Summit County, dogs are like kids. So we were able to get the kid, the dog, the puppy back.
Mm-hmm.
Caught it all on body cam video, of course, and shamed this person that stole this dog. But when I saw the video and I read the story, I was like, wait a minute, this is a real dog napping. Like, this guy was not going to give the dog back.
How much was he holding the dog ransom for?
He just wasn't going to give it back.
Oh, is that right? He just wanted to keep the dog.
Well, I'm sure his intent was to probably try to sell it. You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
I mean, unless he fell in love with the dog, I don't know.
So,
I'm sure the detectives will find out in their interview.
I hope so. So the pet was reunited with its owner.
The pet was reunited with its owner, and everyone was happy. But this you know, could have gone down as a serious pet napping.
Yeah.
Dog napping.
Could have been a lot more serious.
Could have been a lot more serious.
Well, it's always serious is when you hear gunshots. Deputies received a report of gunshots in unincorporated Breckenridge recently.
Yeah, you know, because we're surrounded by national forest here, people, visitors and some residents alike, don't realize that it is legal to shoot in the national forest. So literally, as you know, Tom, some properties here in Summit County literally back up to the national forest. So you could, there's a scenario where you could be sitting on your deck or your back patio, your favorite lawn chair, and be shooting on your property, but into the forest, and it's completely illegal. And so when we get these reports of gunshots, you know, of course, again, we treat everything like it's real. We run to the gunfire because, God forbid, it is some sort of, you know, mass shooting. But in this instance, it was some individuals that were target practice in their backyard legally shooting weapons. So it was all well that ended well, but we cautioned them that maybe they should warn their neighbors next time they're going to do that.
Yeah, definitely.
So that people don't freak out. And this, I mean, you know, naturally in today's day and age that you hear gunshots, where does your mind go? Of course it goes to, oh my God, is that a mass shooting? What are those gunshots?
Right.
Because usually it's big guns that are people shooting into the forest.
So was this a big gun or a little gun?
This was a big gun that made a big noise.
Ooh. Well, that
could
scare
some people. Hence the 911 calls.
Yeah, that'll do it. Let your neighbors know if you're going to be doing target practice in your backyard. And keep your neighbors safe as well. Let's talk about a patient at a hospital complained to deputies about what he described as mistreatment. Deputies responded to speak with the man who was found at the nearby bus stop on the ground, complaining of pain.
Imagine that, a guy that just got out of the hospital.
Who would have thought?
He's calling 911 and he's rolling around on the ground.
What happened?
Well, usually these type of incidents, right, you would think, oh, they're pain seekers, they're pill seekers, right? They've been discharged from the hospital. They're rolling around on the ground saying that they were mistreated because the doctor didn't prescribe them opioids. You know, and they're screaming and yelling because they want their pills. Well, you got to be careful what you ask for. At least you should know that, I don't know, if you have warrants out for your arrest before you call 911. Because the cops almost always will check to see if you have warrants out for your arrest. In this instance, the reason why they checked them to see if you had warrants, after they talked to the guy and talked to the hospital, they learned that this was his third time to the hospital at night. He'd been discharged twice. And so the deputies offered to give him a ride home. He lived in a neighboring community here, you know, just one county over. And they said, listen, they offered him first a bus ticket. And he said that he was in too much pain to take the bus. And the deputies thought, do they really want to do this to a bus driver? So they said, I'll tell you what, we will give you a ride home. But before you get in our car, we've got to run you for warrants. Do you have any warrants? And of course, the answer is always,
no, well, not no. me. What's
what?
A warrant?
Warrant? I've never been in trouble with the law. And it turned out that this guy had multiple warrants out for his,
like, for what?
For his arrest for various crimes. Both none out of here of Summit County, both out of other surrounding counties, because these types of people usually travel around pill seeking. And so this guy got a ride. He got a ride all right, but he got a ride to the Summit County Detention Facility where he wrote out his painful time in a cell.
So is that what it turned out was, pill seeker?
Yeah, these are usually pill seekers.
Wow.
That are...
Interesting.
They figure if they scream loud enough and roll around on the ground long enough that someone will go, he's got to be... Who would do that? He's got to be in pain.
And this is, I don't want to say a common occurrence, but it does happen regular enough to where...
let's go with that.
Yeah, okay. We'll just leave it at that.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
It's not common, but does it happen? Yes.
Yeah.
Does it happen a lot? Not
too
a lot,
much.
But it yeah, too much.
Too much, yeah.
Yeah. You know, the hospital, the things that happen in the ER room of the hospital is its own podcast. Do you know what I mean? The crazy things that they call us for that happen there, that leave you scratching your head going, in an ER? Are you kidding me?
And we'd love to do one of those podcasts, but I'm sure those HIPAA rules would get in the way.
And there's the problem.
There you go.
Great, funny stories,
yeah.
But...
they will go untold.
Yes.
Unless they spill over into the Summit County Justice Files,
which
occasionally happens.
They do, like this one.
Multiple personal flotation device violations occurred on the water this week. That's a regular occurrence.
Yeah. You know, we had a number of them where there was a woman observed struggling on her paddleboard in the winds, of course. And she was approached by our deputies on the patrol boat. And she swore that she had a PFD in her truck that she had left behind. I was loading my paddleboard and forgot. And the deputy said, I'll tell you what, why don't we go back to your truck and go retrieve that? And lo and behold, we got to the truck, and she didn't have a PFD. She lied.
My goodness.
Could you imagine? She lied about having the PFD.
Maybe somebody broke into her truck and stole the PFD. No.
So imagine that she admitted that she lied, and then she was, you know, escorted back to where she was given a citation for not having a PFD. I mean, people seriously don't think about, you know, how dangerous this is. You know, they came across that same day, they came across two other groups of stand-up paddleboard riders where one person might have a PFD and the other three may not. And the other three just don't think it's that serious until they're scratching their name out on a ticket. You and I cannot talk about this enough every week, that these PFDs save lives in high altitude, freezing cold water.
And that's what we have with Lake Dillon, a.k.a. Dillon Reservoir.
Dillon Reservoir. I mean, we, the Summit County Sheriff's Office, would much rather write you a ticket and have you mad and give you a loaner PFD than be scooping you from the bottom of the lake with one of our robot drones. Dead. The alternative is dead.
Thankfully, we haven't had any deaths yet this summer on Lake Dillon. I mean, really, that is kind of a... Every summer, you kind of hold your breath and just you wait and see. And thankfully, at this point, here in August... we have not had any fatalities on Lake Dillon at this point, so that's a good thing. Just keep remembering those personal flotation devices. In March of this year, 2025, deputies took a drugs case in which the victim explained a male attempted to drug her.
Yeah, this was interesting. You know, sadly, often we hear about, you know, date rapes and women claiming that they were drugged on a date. And subsequently sexually assaulted. And, you know, these cases, and I just don't mean here in Summit County, I just mean in general, sex assault cases, you know, go severely underreported because women just realize that what's the point of reporting it? Because I'm going to go to court, nothing's going to happen. They're not going to be able to prove the drugs. Because what happens is when someone says they swear they were drugged, and we test the woman for drugs in her system, you know, that person may test clean, meaning there were no drugs detected. But it's because of the panel, they call them panels of drug tests that they give. And if this person was drugged with a drug that is not on one of these identified panels, it'll come up that they're drug-free, right? So if you don't test for cocaine or you don't test for methamphetamine or for, and I'm just throwing different drugs out there, you'll come up clean. In this instance, this woman, you know, went home with a man from a bar, and he offered her a drink, and she actually saw him stick something in the drink. And so she didn't drink it, made an excuse to, I gotta go, took the drink with her with the drug in it.
Yeah.
We were able to get that from her. Tested the drink. The drug was in there.
What kind of drug?
Amphetamines. Obviously, it just hits for the category of amphetamine.
Okay. Yeah.
But what's interesting, what's great about this case is, A, she wasn't sexually assaulted. B, she was able to talk her way out of it, take the drink with her, give it to the cops. Our cops had it tested. It tested positive. We wrote a warrant for this guy's arrest and went and got him. So here's a sexual predator that we don't have any proof, but who knows how many other victims of this guy is out there or would have been out there, but now he's been arrested and has a history for arrest for sexual assault, for attempted a sexual assault.
Off the streets. Very good.
Right?
Yes,
it's a good
indeed.
One.
Yeah. That's hey, before we wrap things up, let's talk about the fire ban.
Oh, let's talk about the fire ban. So last week we talked about that we're in a stage one fire ban, which meant no open burning except in established campgrounds, you know, in the campgrounds, or a lot of our homes here, the fire districts have a way of permitting backyard fires because everybody has a backyard fire. Now the science has put us into, and I say the science because we try to follow the science. We follow an algorithm and thresholds that put us into different stages. Stage two, we're in now because we're so dry and doesn't look like it's going to rain. But what that means for us is, and it's a word I don't like to use with fire restrictions, is a fire ban. But stage two does essentially now ban fires. It means like no open burning. The easiest way to think about it is if it's gas fueled and has an on and off switch, you're okay. But if there's no on and off switch, you can't use it. So, and this also, which is usually the case even with our stage one fire restriction, in stage two, the Forest Service is also going into stage two, which means for the campgrounds, there's absolutely no fires, no charcoal grills, none of that stuff. You know, I talked about on the radio this morning about a friend that told me that they did s'mores on one of those jet stove,
yeah,
camp stove. So you got to be creative. That
and
has
that
an
works.
On. Yeah,
you can do that. That's
has
perfectly
an on-off
fine.
Switch.
Yeah, it's you can
and
turn
it's
it off.
Gas and it's gas fueled.
Yeah,
and they were able to make s'mores with their camping. But there is absolutely no fires. Let's be fire wise. Let's be fire safe. And be careful out there with fire.
Smoky Bear signs are at extreme.
They're at extreme, which is really odd. I talked about this morning on Crystal 93. I said that we haven't been in stage two in 4 years, June of 2021. The fire districts, they couldn't even remember the last time we were in extreme fire danger.
Is so there another stage above stage
no.
two?
There is. There's a, yes, there is where there's nothing allowed. We could get there. But hopefully we'll stay in stage two, you know, for a week or two. And historically speaking, which means nothing anymore, we've remained in there for a week or two and then dialed it back to stage one and then dialed stage one back by the time snow got on the ground. With the clock ticking and it being the middle of August, we're probably looking at staying in restrictions until there's a foot of snow on the ground.
Stay tuned. We'll keep you up to date. And on Crystal 93, you can catch me and the sheriff every Thursday morning at about 7:45. We'll do a quick update. And then right here on the Summit County Justice Files. Thanks for tuning in. That's a wrap for this week's Justice Files. Tom Fricke with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons. And remember, knowledge is power, and a little laughter along the way doesn't hurt either.
And just so we're clear, our coverage doesn't include every crime. We leave out the most serious and sensitive cases, and all suspects are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. With that said, my friends, stay safe, stay informed, and if you're thinking about committing a crime, remember, it never ends well, and you might just end up as our next feature.
You can also read the Summit County Justice Files on the Summit County Sheriff's Office website at summitsheriffcolorado.gov. Until next time, this is the Justice Files. True stories, where law meets laughs and justice always has the final say. And as always, Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, thank you for your service.
Thank you, Tom.